Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I want my food to taste like a tomato. I don't want all the chemicals in it.
A federal program tries to encourage healthy eating. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 12th. I'm Jonathan Horn. City officials unveiled a new plan today to bring a swath of green space to downtown Los Angeles. The measure calls for a 16-acre park stretching from Bunker Hill to the steps of City Hall. Councilwoman Jan Perry says the new park will bring the city together.
Regardless of your station in life or where you come from or whether you work downtown or live downtown, it'll be our park. It's the park for the entire city.
Proposals to bring more green space to downtown have been floated since the 1920s, but none ever got off the ground. The proposed new park will include a lawn for concerts and rallies, several gardens, and a performance space. The project is expected to cost $56 million, and most of the money is already in place. City officials hope to break ground by 2010. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger won a tentative victory today, allowing him to cut salaries for another 15,000 state workers. Judge Patrick Marlette said he would likely allow the governor to furlough both union and non-union workers who don't report directly to him. If the salary cuts are allowed, they could save the state $1.3 billion through June 2010. State legislators are lobbying today to pass a bill that will change the unemployment program. Assembly Bill 23 will give laid-off workers more money. Legislators hope this would allow more Californians to become eligible for $839 million in federal aid. National Employment Law Project Policy Director Maurice Emsalem says the changes will help the economy.
Unemployment benefits in a recession, it's all about helping to boost the economy. The more benefits are circulating in the economy, the bigger boost the economy. In fact, the multiplier effect is about 2 to 1. So for every dollar circulating in the economy, it brings an economic boost of $2. So of this $8 to $10 billion that California gets, it's going to help boost the California economy by $16 to $20 billion, just when we need the help most.
The LA County Economic Development Corporation reports unemployment in the city of Los Angeles has reached a staggering 20%. The number also includes people who are underemployed, meaning they have jobs but are unable to get full-time hours. The $787 billion economic stimulus bill proposed by Congress gives a lot of money to so-called shovel-ready projects.
I'm for the shovel-ready projects.
Shovel-ready.
Shovel-ready projects.
But as Richie Duchon reports, not everyone on the receiving end of the federal funds carries a shovel.
Michael Palmer is a master mechanic. He manages a team of 84 people who overhaul LA County's bus fleet. His mechanics don't use shovels, but they've got plenty of socket wrenches and other tools. Palmer's mechanics will be among the first people in LA County to receive federal stimulus money.
I don't think that we would have the funding without the stimulus to continue the program.
Palmer and his team work on the county's fleet of nearly 2,600 buses. They overhaul the ones that are about halfway through their lifespan of 12 to 14 years. Palmer's main work is taking out old dirty engines and replacing them with brand new fuel-efficient ones. MTA says it expects to receive about $47 million in stimulus funding for its bus midlife program. Palmer says without the stimulus money,
the buses would start failing and then it would affect the community and it would affect the people out there trying to get to their jobs.
MTA says about 1.5 million people ride its buses every day. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
For most of Los Angeles, the elections ended on March 3rd. But for some of the city's voters, there is still one more decision to make. Esther Pomeroy has the details.
On March 24th, residents in communities including Culver City, South Los Angeles, and Los Feliz will vote in a primary election for the 26th district of the state Senate. The seat is wide open after being vacated by now County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas. Two of the eight candidates are already in California politics, Democrats Mike Davis and Curran Price. Price says the state needs to focus on job creation and education.
Job creation is the number one issue. People are losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods. We're in the process of a real economic revolution.
The district is heavily Democratic. Bob Mulholland, campaign advisor for the California Democratic Party, says the economy is a major concern for voters.
The number one issue is how to fix this economy, and given all the bad publicity coming out of the state capitol in Sacramento with Schwarzenegger's mishandling of the budget, that schools are being closed, law enforcement is being laid off. They, the voters, want somebody who's going to make the best fight for them in their area.
Mulholland says that with special primaries, voter turnout is low. Voters at the Crenshaw Mall in South Los Angeles say that they received ballot instructions through the mail, but that was the extent of election publicity.
I just got the mailer from the election committee or whatever it is, and I was really surprised because I thought the past election where we voted for the mayor was it.
Yeah, they sent Cameron Price and Mike Davis's thing through the mail, and I'm going to read up on them. I'm going on the internet and read up on them.
After the primary on the 24th, the general election will be held in May. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
A new collaboration may have Martin Luther King Harbor Hospital opening its doors again. County officials unveiled a proposal yesterday to partner with the University of California. The plan envisions a 120-bed facility to be opened in late 2012. The county would provide funding for the hospital's upkeep, while the University of California would provide the medical staff. Community Health Council's policy director Nancy Watson says this will ensure high-quality patient care.
But this board would be dedicated to MLK. You know, they'll have flexibility in terms of hiring and that sort of thing, and hopefully, you know, recruit qualified staff. You know, we feel that would be the best model given, you know, the history and what we think needs to be focused on.
In 2007, the hospital formerly known as King Drew failed federal inspections. We will have more with Nancy Watson later in the newscast. Some clouds will linger through the night, with the temperature dipping to 47. Friday will see clear skies with highs in the upper 70s and lows in the upper 40s. Saturday will have a mix of clouds and sky with highs in the mid-60s and lows in the upper 40s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, from Scotland to South LA, students at the Fauché Learning Center fund their own art program. In 1992, Congress amended the Child Nutrition Act to provide low-income mothers with vouchers for free fruits and vegetables at farmers' markets. But critics of the program say the annual funding is too small to make a real difference in poor families' eating habits. Jenny Lauren Lee reports.
Just down the street from the star-studded sidewalks of Hollywood Boulevard, the Hollywood Farmers Market brings farm-fresh food into the heart of the city.
We will, honey, as soon as I get some yellow peppers.
People who know what food is supposed to taste like come here.
I want my food to taste like a tomato. I want my food to taste like collard greens or spinach. I don't want all the chemicals in it.
Bill Jarrett is willing to pay the price for his superior produce. But for many people who are in danger of real malnutrition or hunger, truly fresh food is a luxury they cannot afford. So how do you get the good, nutritious food at the farmers markets to the people who need it?
They're actually surprised. Oh, really? Yeah, here's some money. Go shopping.
Here in the waiting room of a Los Angeles clinic for the special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children, three-year-olds play with oversized wooden blocks as tall as they are, while their parents settle among the rows of plastic chairs, anxiously filling out paperwork on clipboards while they wait for their names to be called.
Oh, me! Good boy!
They say he's 20.
Mirna Ruiz has been working at this WIC clinic for 20 years. And every June, she gives out free vouchers as part of the Farmers Market Nutrition Program. They're good for fruits and vegetables at farmers markets during summer and fall.
Yes, people ask for them. They ask for them throughout the whole year. We have to say they're only once a year.
But there's a catch. The amount of money each family gets is $20 a year. That's enough to use in one or two outings, but it's certainly not a budget fit to sustain a family.
Say hi, Gorda.
Hi.
Estuardo Cobos and his wife, Angela Marie Ostrander Cobos, have been coming to the WIC clinic for 6 months to get formula and other essentials for their children, 3-year-old Ethan and 6-month-old Emily. They've never used the farmer's market vouchers, but Cobos says he would use them, especially if there were a market closer to his house.
We have stores in the community that have this stuff there for us, so if there was a farmer's market that was, you know, available and nearby, I'm sure we would.
Even if his family lived next door to a farmer's market, though, the $20 annual vouchers wouldn't buy much. A few bunches of carrots, some organic apples, and perhaps a large container of strawberries. Moira Beery is part of the Center for Food and Justice at Occidental College in Los Angeles.
I would definitely agree that it's a great sort of token project, and it's a great way to introduce people to fresh fruits and vegetables and to get them familiar with farmers markets, but it clearly doesn't go far enough.
Beery says the main problem with the program is that it does little to increase access to farmers markets for lower-income families. Pompeia Smith, who manages the Hollywood Farmers Market, says sustaining families on farmers market produce is not the point of the program. Instead, it's about education.
Somehow, they come back with their own cash, because that's what they're supposed to do, that program. Change their behavior and then get them to discover the farmers market is a good place to buy fresh fruits and vegetables.
But food education only goes so far if you can't afford to buy farmers market produce and don't live close to where it's sold.
It's not going to help people that don't have a market anywhere near them and would have to, you know, spend an hour on the bus getting to a market. That's not really a feasible option for a lot of people.
Beery says the challenge now is to try to bring reasonably priced produce into food deserts, where poor people are surrounded by miles of fast food restaurants and convenience stores without a single supermarket. Children from these communities grow up never learning how to cook for themselves or seek out nutritious food.
I mean, we definitely suffer from food deserts in Los Angeles, so places where there is almost no access to healthy foods.
Fresh bread, fresh bread. It's the day.
With additional funding, the farmers market vouchers might go a little farther toward improving the diets of low-income mothers and children in WIC. But right now, the vouchers are too small to have a large impact on what people eat. And the farmers markets are too far from the food deserts to bring farm fresh food to the people who might benefit from it the most. Jenny Lauren Lee, Annenberg Radio News.
Earlier, we talked about the possible 2012 reopening of King Harbor Hospital in South LA. The fact that there is a plan is welcome news to many health advocates. Today, I spoke with Nancy Watson, Policy Director of Community Health Councils. She says she's optimistic.
We're very excited. We understand that there's still a lot of details to flesh out, but we're excited that the leaders at the state and county level and UC have committed to this, and I understand that they've been working towards this for a while now.
It's going to be operated by a nonprofit and the University of California. How is that different, and how is that going to make the way it operates better?
Well, right now, when the facility went down, unfortunately failed the inspections, it was under a county governance structure, and we appreciate and respected that just that didn't work for this community, and so this would be independent. So you'd have a board with significant expertise kind of looking after it. Right now, what we did have was one supervisor, really, being a five-member supervisor with many other responsibilities for not just hospitals, but for jail services, sheriff, you know, all kinds of other county services that kind of competed for their time to pay attention to MLK. So, but this board would be dedicated to MLK.
4,000 people visited every month, and it closed. Where did they all go?
That's been one of our, one of our concerns. Unfortunately, you know, clinics are seeing patients turn up that shouldn't be there. You know, they'll probably be better treated at a hospital because their conditions are really serious. The hospitals, as you may or may not know, the hospitals are actually getting some supplemental money from the county that's around the hospital, the private hospitals. So St. Francis, Sentinella Hospital, Downey Hospital, they're actually getting payments from the county to help deal with the load. Emergency rooms have across down the way have been struggling, you know, to deal with it. So I think that's, you know, just kind of the tip of the iceberg, probably. You know, we can't really see everything. Some people may not be getting care at all. So I think it's sort of a combination of a lot of different factors in terms of what's happening to the patient.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Nancy Watson is the Policy Director of Community Health Councils. Room 13 is an ambitious art project connecting students at the Fauché Learning Center with art teachers a world away. Silva Selvian reports.
Middle school students at Fauché are learning entrepreneurship skills in a groundbreaking art program. Room 13, a student-run arts initiative, started in a low-income area of Scotland before coming to Los Angeles. John Midby, the instructor of Room 13, says his students have all the power in his class.
What's good about Room 13 in reality is there's this vision, student-directed, student-led, student-managed, student-financed.
Room 13 is supported by nonprofit The Lightbringer Project. Its president, Tom Costin, said the directors of Room 13 wanted to start a program in the U.S., and he knew just where to start.
So I thought one school in South Los Angeles, James Fauché Learning Center, there's something different about that school. They try harder. They do better. They're somehow stronger.
Aside from the room and the teacher's salary, which are covered by LAUSD, students have to develop a business model to fund and pay for the resident artists and art supplies.
The fundraising, it's fun because you're actually helping your class.
They sell pizza and snacks after school and have created bags and shirts with their artwork. The project is a shining light in an otherwise dismal year for art education funding. Silva Sevlin, Annenberg Radio News.
Leonore Annenberg, the widow of Walter Annenberg, died this morning. The Annenberg family has made invaluable donations to the Annenberg School for Communication and other charities. She had been ill for some time. She was 91. Now we check in with Christian Martinez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Christian?
Thanks, Jonathan. In the last 24 hours, there has been a lot of crime on USC's campus. We'll have the latest on last night's shooting that took place just blocks from USC and find out why it took students so long to find out. Also, hear what victims of an armed robbery at University Village have to say.
Even if DPS patrolling every day, every night, but this area is unsafe.
It's all coming up tonight on Annenberg TV News.
Thanks, Christian. Well, that wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jonathan Horn.